When you think of American football hotbeds, you think of Texas and Florida. For college wrestling, it's Iowa. For hockey, it's the Upper Midwest and New England. As Only a Game's Michelle Seaton reports, the Northeast could soon be a hotbed to a sport of a more exotic kind.
Every year at this time, the top badminton players from around the country gather to compete for a chance to represent the U.S. in several international tournaments. What's unusual is that for the first time, this tournament is not taking place in California, where the country's top players live and train. Instead, it's being hosted in Westboro, Massachusetts. Players are competing in a brand new multi-court facility dedicated to badminton, and it is the first facility of its kind on the East Coast. So far, the players are impressed.
The bird flies well. The courts are great. I mean, the only thing is it's cold in here. But I mean, what can you expect? It's East Coast.
That's Howard Hsu, who trains in Orange County and who is a serious contender to make the U.S. Olympic team in 2012. Like most elite athletes, he's a bit particular about playing surfaces.
I mean, it's great because, I mean, it's hard to find facilities with, like, obviously these green mats because they're expensive. And when you're playing at this high level, you have to have the mats. So they're able to host events like this, so, you know, players like us will be willing to come here to play.
Yvonne Chern raised all the money to fund this $2.4 million facility. She made sure that the entire building was designed with badminton in mind. That meant 35-foot ceilings, radiant heaters to reduce drafts, walls covered in paneling and green paint to maximize the visibility of the bird. Chern, who is 56 years old, knows the sport because she's a player. She took up the sport not in the Philippines, where she grew up, but here in Massachusetts, once her kids started to play. Chern's son, Lee, won the under-19 national championship earlier this year, and she has equally big plans for the sport of badminton. She feels that this business will help fuel a craze in a region where the sport has barely gained a foothold.
We hope this badminton will grow a lot in the East Coast. It has grown dramatically in the West Coast. San Francisco alone has 14 dedicated facilities. And over the last 2 years, these are all more than 20 court facilities. This 8-court facility is the biggest in the East Coast. So we have a lot of catching up to do.
All of the top-seeded U.S. players at this tournament are Californians. And most of the national team players are Californians. Yet the domination of California-based players is relatively recent. Fred Coleman, a board member for USA Badminton and a college coach, remembers a time when the very idea of building a dedicated badminton facility in California was considered a rather silly pipe dream.
10 years ago in the Bay Area, some people who were very interested told me there was no chance there'd ever be a badminton club there because it was too expensive. Today, there are 14 clubs with 18 facilities and 600 dedicated courts. Because once one was built and it was clear that you could make money, that people came out of the woodwork to play, it took off. And that's part of what we want to see on the East Coast.
According to Coleman, the East Coast is ready to become another badminton hotbed. In fact, the next Olympians could well come from Massachusetts. The very first day of the team trials in Westboro produced some shocking upsets. Coleman can barely contain his glee.
One of the young players from here who won the last year's under-17 national title, who upset two older players who were ranked higher than him in the course of yesterday's play. So not just getting a chance to play against them, but to beat them is really exciting.
The player Coleman is talking about is 16-year-old Alan Scheckman, a suburban 10th grader with braces who seems rather blasé about having defeated the tournament's third-seeded player, someone nearly 10 years older than he is.
So far it's going really good. I'm moving out of my group as number one spot, and that's good. I have a good chance in the quarterfinals, so I'm ready to go.
Scheckman admits that what's nice about this tournament is that it's about a 30-minute drive from home.
It's very convenient, and it's obviously nice to have a tournament in your home ground, and it's really good, like, gives you that home advantage, and you can sleep in your own bed at your own house, and it's you know, most of the time I'm on the road or flying, and most of the time I'm in California, but it's nice for a change to have it in my own backyard.
One of the spectators at this tournament is Ajid Imrani, who once played on the junior national team in India. Now he lives and works in the Boston area, in large part, he says, because other badminton enthusiasts live here.
I was in Virginia, and didn't get to play for almost 5 years after I moved here initially. And once I found out about the badminton tradition here, and a lot of my friends did too, they moved from other places just here so we can continue playing.
Umrani is also a part-time badminton coach. Several of his younger players are competing at these team trials, even though they have little hope of qualifying. It's good for them, he says, to get in over their heads in these matches.
This is their opportunity to actually see how it feels to play against the best in the game in the U.S.
So they find out what fast means.
Yes. They find out what hard means. They find out what fast means. They find out how brain is really important to the game. It's just not speed or the stamina. It's a mind game altogether. It's really a chess game at the highest level.
That's what everyone says about the elite level of badminton. It's a mind game. You can't just keep your opponent running. You have to keep him guessing. Or as Coach Andy Chong says, you have to use deception.
They need to know how to change the speed of the game. Because in badminton, nothing is fixed. It all depends on who you play.
That's the advice that Chong, who was once a top internationally ranked player, is giving to the U.S. men's team when he travels with them to tournaments. Chong has also been hired to act as the full-time coach at the new Westboro facility, where he will give private lessons and start an academy for young players.
It's important because if you compare to California, there's so many facilities there, and there's so many players, and competition there is so much greater than the players in the East Coast. So we need a facility like this so that we can have a regular training program going on and hopefully get a lot more young kids to start and then build from there.
Chris Colcourt to serve. Love all. Play.
It will take time, says Chong, to nurture the talent in this region, but the sport as a whole can only benefit from an infusion of new players, new fans, and new venues for badminton. The overall results here held few surprises, with the exception of Alan Scheckman, who placed fifth overall in men's singles and who can't wait for next year. For Only a Game, I'm Michelle Seaton.
Good shot, Chris. Come on.
Only a Game is produced by Karen Given and Doug Trabu. Our technical director is John Ferrati. We had help this week from Phil Kearney at Yale University. Our intern is Jillian Geib, and our senior producer is Gary Wallach. To view our photo galleries or learn more about this week's music selections, please visit our website, onlyagame.org. Our final word this week comes from reporter Phil Latzman, who suggests the following idea for naming the new Marlins ballpark.
We're used to name changes around here. You know, at the highest bidder every year, we could just rebid the name and change it. Why not?
Why not indeed? You got a better name for this show than Only a Game? Pony up. I'm Bill Littlefield. Thanks for listening. I'll see you next week.
Support comes from the Pew Charitable Trusts, working to strengthen the arts and cultural sector through the Cultural Data Project at pewtrusts.org. The Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, committed to helping Americans lead healthier lives and get the care they need, on the web at rwjf.org. And the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, dedicated to the idea that all people deserve the chance to live healthy, productive lives, at gatesfoundation.org. This is NPR.